How we doing? How we doing? Welcome back to another episode of Lessons to Leisure. I am your host, MJ. Just full of excitement, man. We back at it. We back on the grind, man. The services I was using wasn't allowing me to upload, so we was having technical difficulties for a long time. But we're back at it again, man. I'm proud to say we're going to get this episode done today. We're going to get it done in one run, man. But I just want to shout out to everybody for the last episode with Ruben. I know it happened a couple weeks ago, but it was a great episode, man. A lot of you, if you didn't check it out, man. It got major love, major good feedback. But then, you know, I want to start it off with this question I got. And I got a few questions from people like, why have you never worked with Ruben? I mean, I know you're still trying to learn, but it sounds like he has it together. Why don't you ask him for help, and why don't you take that handout, is what they basically saying. And you know, I thought about it, and like I said, me and Ruben have been friends for a very long time, but I've never asked him for a dime. As far as I can remember, I've never asked him for, hey, let me get X amount of money that wasn't already mine. Hey, let me get with you on that. That's just not how I'm wired, because like, I need good people around me, and he's a great person around me. But I'll tell y'all like I told him, I will be successful with or without him. It's hard for me to accept help sometime, and I know that's the thing that I have, accepting help. But with or without him, I'm still going to make X amount of money. I'm still going to be successful in my own element. I don't need anyone to give me a handout. I don't want the handout. Because like he said in the interview, if you can't handle 10, if you don't know how to make 10, why would I just give it to you? We spoke about this before, me and him, and we was talking about it, and you know what I'm saying, we was in our element, and we was like, we won't give our family just $100,000. We won't just give it to them because they want to know how to make $100,000. But say you come to us with that, you come to us with $20,000. We'll match that $20,000. I will when I get to that point, and I'm pretty sure he will whenever he, you know, he wants. But I don't want the handout. The handout is not what I want. But shout out to Ruben, man. Shout out to him, man. I've learned so much from him. Shout out to him. He showed me a lot, man. His dedication, his grind, he pushes me to that next level. And it's nothing but love and respect for the guy, man. So shout out to everybody that listened to it. Like I said, if you're on Apple Podcasts, go ahead and do the review, 5 stars, whatever, subscribe, and we're just going to keep this thing rolling, man. But after this short little intermission, throw these little things in there, we're going to get into our topics for the day, man. So let's get straight into it. So sometimes you just got to think, man, it's never too late. It's never too late. In this generation we live in, it's kind of hard to keep telling yourself that and actually believing it, because it's so many outlets to view other successful people. On social media, you can view anyone and their successes. And usually when you follow successful people, they broadcast their wins, and they showing you they just secured another deal, and they just showing you they just bought another car, or they showing you how they closed another property. But you got to realize it's never too late. And sometimes I have to tell myself that over and over. It's never too late. It's never too late. Because being around Ruben, it makes you feel like you're out of time. You know, shout out to Rubes. It makes you feel like you're out of time. I told him that, like, you know, not too long ago. It makes you feel like you need to be getting it right now. And you start questioning the things you're doing at this moment. You know, with my lifestyle versus his lifestyle, I'm grateful for everything I have. I'm grateful for everything that came this way, but his lifestyle, he worked hard to get it, and I have to sometimes remember that we both asked for what we got. So I want to go through some people that took some time, that took some, you know, some years, some decades to get to where they wanted. You know, we're gonna start off with the founder of Walmart. He started working in retail in his 20s, and you know, ended up in his late 30s and a little bit of his 40s. He didn't start Walmart until he was 44 years old. So it took him all that time to develop those skills, that knowledge. It takes time. Like I said, it's never too late. It's never too late. Samuel L. Jackson, didn't land his first major role until he was 43. Now his net worth is $200 million. It takes time. It's never too late. It's never too late. You're getting the theme here. Barack Obama, a lot of people think you make a good, decent amount in the White House, but that's not necessarily so true. He didn't get to his millions. I didn't research the exact amount on how much they make in the White House, but I know it's not. I know you get a lot of benefits, but I know it's not like life-changing, over-the-top money. You know, he was a lawyer before, so it's not like he was coming from nothing. He had a good paycheck coming in from being a lawyer. So, of course, when you in the White House, you know, you make whatever, but he didn't make his first millions until he made his book. The book he wrote gained him $12.2 million. You know, and it's kind of hard, man. It's hard. It's hard. And I'm blessed to be grateful for everything I have. And I always look back and wonder, like, man, I wish I would have did this. I wish I would have did that. But you just got to remember, everyone has their time. Everyone will get to their success. Yeah, things might be a little longer than intended, but you got to remember, it's going to be your day one time. We going to get these M's. I'm going to be sitting right next to you, and we going to get it together, man. So I just had to, you know, tell my peoples, tell y'all, man, that, like, we going to get to it, man. Be patient. Be easy. Some is already there. And if you're already there and you already on your status, and keep grinding, get more. Let's get to it. Why wait? What's the wait? Let's keep going. But, you know, for us, some of us, we have certain situations that's kind of taking up a lot of time. Like, being in college for myself takes up a lot of time. But we're going to get there one day. We're still young. You got to remember that. We're still young. So I just have to begin with that, man. We're going to go to the next topic here, man. We're going to learn some information. Let's learn, man. So like I always say, business is a contact sport. Business, and like many other things, it's always real competitive. It's always going to be a lot of people in the field. It's always going to be people ready to take your spot. It's always the next thing, especially in the technology world we have today. There's so much information at the palm of your hands. And I hate when people use that technology for only social media purposes. You have a money-making machine in the palm of your hands. However you're listening to this, you have a money-making machine, the laptop, the whatever, iPad, you can make money off of this device. Why are you using it for only certain things? So I found two competitive companies that go against each other all the time, and they use their founders. There's some interesting topics. We're not going to go deep into the founders, but we're going to go deep into their stories and how they compete against each other, because business is a contact sport. So Uber and Lyft, they're an interesting study. Right now they're about to be placed on the stock exchange. And once you make it to that level, when you make it to Wall Street and, you know, all the stocks and everything, that's how you know you're growing as a company. And a lot of people are very excited about it, but I don't know if they should be. And we're going to dive into it. Both are ride sharing companies, of course. You know, you use the app and they find you, whatever, take you to your location, whatever, whatever. Uber is on 58 countries and 300 cities, while Lyft is in 46 states and is also in Canada. So you can see the difference there. Uber is very, very huge. And then Lyft is not as big, but it's still growing. It's still growing. Uber has 20,000 employees, while Lyft is in 4,500 employees. Then that category, like I said, Lyft, they're coming for them. They're coming. They small, you know, they haven't been as round. They haven't been around as much, but they're coming. They're on their way right there. So Uber's net worth is between 72 to about 76 million, while Lyft is at 15, excuse me, I'm going to say billion, while Lyft is at 15 billion. So, you know, they made a good little profits throughout the years they've been founded. They always compete with each other, and you will notice that if you go through the history line, they're competing with each other day in and day out. Like when, let me give you for example, they're both trying to get in the bike and scooter exchange. They're both trying to jump into that. Like, for example, Uber bought Jump. It's a scooter company called Jump for $200 million. And then Lyft went back and brought a scooter or biking service called Motivate for $250 million. And they did this around the same time. They always competed with each other. It's always a battle. Uber in 2014 launched Uber Eats. And they got a sponsor for McDonald's. Now, McDonald's is a game changer because it's a McDonald's on every corner. Everywhere you go is a McDonald's. So the fact that they get their name associated with some type of franchise as big as McDonald's, it changes the game. And like I said, Lyft, they always try to keep up. They got a sponsorship from Taco Bell. And they tried to campaign it. They tried to make it a big thing. They made taco mode for college students. It's a very interesting story how they did that. They had a button on the app, you know, you're in your local college, and it would activate between 9 p.m. and 2 a.m. And what they would do is you press this button, the Lyft will come get you, it'll take you to Taco Bell, and then they would get a certain net profit off of that. And it was a complete failure because if you're in college, you're not spending a lot of money. You're not spending that much. And they weren't giving discounts out for those students using that technology. So it was a complete failure. They haven't got another sponsorship since. They just been trying to grow, you know, trying to figure out different ways to compete with Uber. And then Uber, they've dealt with a lot of scandals lately. They have a lot of people. I don't know how their background check. I don't know how that really works. But they've been having a lot of scandals with their contracted drivers. They've had a lot of problems. Back in 2013, Google and Uber, they've had a weird relationship for a while now. It's been pretty kind of weird. Back in 2013, Google invested into Uber $258 million, which gave them a 6% percentages of the company. Where, you know, they like what Uber was doing. And in 2014, the Google CEO and the Uber CEO took a ride in one of those self-driving cars, right? And Google, the CEO loved it. He was all for it. So instead of continuing their partnership with Uber, he went on, and it's called Waymo, I believe. Waymo. He went to go and build his own self-driving company instead of partnering with Uber. So ever since then, they've been having their technical difficulties. They've been having trouble coming back from this relationship because they kind of went around their back and trying to steal their competition, trying to steal their fans. And they're, you know, they went about, they're stealing a lot. They're taking a lot. So all three of the companies, Uber, Lyft, and Google, all have self-driving cars in place, trying to take over that market, that niche. While Tesla, they're also in the business, but Tesla has a lot of scandals as well because their technology can be a little shaky, which I can understand when you're making millions of cars, you know, every month or every couple months. One or two is not going to be the best in the world. And that's with every car, especially when it requires so much technology. Uber invests so much money in technology, and they're also trying to stay ahead. They have freight trucks, scooters, helicopters, limos. The helicopters is cool because they are only doing it in bigger cities to begin with, just to see if it'll work. They're doing it in New York and like LA and places, you know, that would require more helicopters than the average city, you know, the smaller towns. This is the funniest part. It's funny to me because, like I said in episode 2, you know, a month back, you would think these businesses are profitable, but neither Lyft or Uber are profitable. They're still having troubles gaining that money, that capital, to erase the debt. It's a funny world we live in, man. Just because you see a business, see a couple ads, doesn't mean it's profitable, guys. So I just want to jump into that, man. I want us to be on that next level. I want us to get up there, man. Just because Uber and Lyft exist doesn't mean you can't come in and take over that niche, man. So I just had to come in and tell you about that. All businesses are not profitable. So the last little story we're going to run through one time, and then we're going to get up out of here, man. It's just a real interesting article I found about how powerful social media is. Like, social media does damage. It does damage. It was this girl, woman, that I would rather not say her Instagram name. It didn't matter. But the story is interesting because she went in debt $10,000 for the perfect Instagram feed. She took out loans. She was asking friends for money. She was doing whatever she needed to do to get this $10,000. She went to Barcelona. She went to Spain. She went to Italy. She went to Mexico. She went to Hawaii and a few other small places. But I was in my head, I'm like, wow, if you would have put that same energy into getting that $10,000, you know, going through the banks and going through other people and putting it into yourself, it would have been tremendously off the charts. She would have got probably more if she worked on herself and worked on her craft and found out her own niche and got that money herself instead of taking out loans that she'll be paying back for years to come for something that lasted momentarily. Now you can say, MJ, it's for the memory. It's for something that lasts longer than anything else. You know, and I'm okay. I guess I can agree with that. But I would rather do it on my own element, my own dime, my own everything else. You know, work hard, go get it. It'll make you feel better if you worked hard and you worked your way to these trips instead of just taking a loan out and have to pay these loans back for years to come. So I'm going to tell you a little story about myself. So I was in the process of building an application, an app, with a couple people. I had a couple of people listed, and I didn't have the capital, of course. Like I said, I'm in college, so it's hard to get capital. But I went out, and I was going bank to bank. I was trying to get, let me tell you this, let me say this before I go. Applications, apps are very expensive. If you want one U.S. based, there's about $20,000. And depends on the app, depending on what you wanted to do. And then I went overseas, found some for $700. I'm like, that can't be right. Found a dude that'll do it for $3,000. I'm like, I guess that's true. But then again, he could took this $3,000 and never came back. He could have disappeared. It's not like I could find him. He was in, like, I don't know where he was, Pakistan or something. He was far. So I could never get this money back. But I believed in what I had, my idea. I believed it was going to go to the next level. So I went out looking for a $3,000 loan. Luckily, I got denied due to lack of credit. I don't have that much credit right now. But luckily, they were like, man, you know, you're not good. We can't trust you, blah, blah, blah. So I said, okay, you're right. But then I'm like, okay, any true entrepreneur, they figure it out. They figure it out. All the great ones I've studied, they figure it out. They will be like, how can I get $3,000 by, let's say, 30 days? So I start doing my research. I start figuring out. And I'm going to share a gem. This is something else you can literally do on your own. Literally. No income. No capital required. You go out there and just get to it. I'm going to just say the word, and I'm going to leave it at that. Wholesale deals. Real estate. Wholesale deals, real estate. Look it up and start your entrepreneurship. But like I said, I was looking up ways to get to this money instead of taking out that loan that would have took my credit down. Probably it would have done numerous things. And let alone, let's say the app didn't even work well, or he just took my money and ran. You got to be creative. You got to learn how to get your money on your own, man. So I said all that to say, man, just be creative. Let's get into our own. Like, man, we smart people. You just got to tap into it. You just got to learn every day. That's what I do. I learn every day. I'm reading every day. Think and Grow Rich, A Black Choice. Read that. It's a great book, man. I thank you guys for listening to another edition of Lessons to Leisure. Y'all been wonderful. I've been getting a lot of feedback. A lot of people was wondering, where the episodes at, man? You done disappeared, man. But you know me, I'm always to my grind. So I had to come back and figure out a way to get these shows done. It's much love to y'all if y'all need me. My Instagram is _SheLovesMJ. My Twitter is MJsWorld_. If you want to talk, let's talk. You want to research something about the next episode, you want to give me some ideas, holla at me, man. Much love.